and then a silver hare, a boar, and a fox soared past Harry, Ron, and Hermione's heads. The Dementors fell back before the creature's approach. Three more people had arrived out of the darkness to stand beside them, their wands outstretched, continuing to cast their Patronuses. Luna, Ernie, and Seamus.
"That's right," said Luna encouragingly, as if they were back in the Room of Requirement and this was simply spell practice for the DA. "That's right, Harry. Come on, think of something happy."
"Something happy?" he said. His voice cracked.
"We're all still here," she whispered. "We're still fighting. Come on now."
There was a silver spark, then a wavering light, and then, with the greatest effort it had ever cost him, the stag burst from the end of Harry's wand. It cantered forward, and now the Dementors scattered in earnest, and immediately the night was mild again, but the sounds of the surrounding battle were loud in his ears.
"Can't thank you enough," said Ron shakily,
turning to Luna, Ernie, and Seamus.
"You just saved..."
With a roar and an earthquaking tremor, another giant came lurching out of the darkness from the direction of the forest, brandishing a club taller than any of them.
"Run!"
Harry shouted again, but the others needed no telling. They all scattered, and not a second too soon, for next moment the creature's vast foot had fallen exactly where they had been standing. Harry looked round. Ron and Hermione were following him, but the other three had vanished back into the battle.
"Let's get out of range!"
yelled Ron, as the giant swung its club again and its bellows echoed through the night, across the grounds where bursts of red and green light continued to illuminate the darkness.
"The Whomping Willow!" said Harry. "Go!"
Somehow he walled it all up in his mind, crammed it into a small space into which he could not look now. Thoughts of Fred and Hagrid, and his terror for all the people he loved, scattered in and outside the castle, must all wait. Because they had to run, had to reach the snake and Voldemort, because that was, as Hermione said, the only way to end it. He sprinted, half believing he could outdistance death itself, ignoring the jets of light flying in the darkness all around him, and the sound of the lake crashing like the sea, and the creaking of the Forbidden Forest, though the night was windless. Through grounds that seemed themselves to have risen in rebellion, he ran faster than he had ever moved in his life, and it was he who saw the great tree first, the willow that protected the secret at its roots with whip-like slashing branches. Panting and gasping, Harry slowed down, skirting the willow's swiping branches, peering through the darkness toward its thick trunk, trying to see the single knot in the bark of the old tree that would paralyze it. Ron and Hermione caught up, Hermione so out of breath she could not speak.
How are we going to get in?" panted Ron. "I can see the place. If we just had Crookshanks again."
"Crookshanks?"
wheezed Hermione, bent double, clutching her chest.
"Are you a wizard or what?" "Oh, right, yeah."
Ron looked around, then directed his wand at a twig on the ground and said,
"Wingardium Leviosa."
The twig flew up from the ground, spun through the air as if caught by a gust of wind, then zoomed directly at the trunk through the willow's ominously swaying branches. It jabbed at a place near the roots, and at once the writhing tree became still.
"Perfect," panted Hermione.
"Wait." For one teetering second, while the crashes and booms of the battle filled the air, Harry hesitated. Voldemort wanted him to do this, wanted him to come. Was he leading Ron and Hermione into a trap? But then the reality seemed to close upon him, cruel and plain. The only way forward was to kill the snake, and the snake was where Voldemort was, and Voldemort was at the end of this tunnel.
"Harry, we're coming. Just get in there," said Ron, pushing him forward.
Harry wriggled into the earthy passage hidden in the tree's roots. It was a much tighter squeeze than it had been the last time they had entered it. The tunnel was low-ceilinged. They had had to double up to move through it nearly 4 years previously. Now there was nothing for it but to crawl. Harry went first, his wand illuminated, expecting at any moment to meet barriers. But none came. They moved in silence, Harry's gaze fixed upon the swinging beam of the wand held in his fist.